Monday.
A blessed good morning, everyone. This is the Because He Lives program, brought to you with the kind compliments of Federal Motor Spirits. And we're continuing this morning with the organization Family Faith Freedom Barbados. This morning, we're going to develop on the aspect of faith. My name is Ryan Mathering, and we have Bishop Kenroy Burke, as well as Pastor Winston Carter. And these men of God are going to share what their knowledge allows them to as it relates to this topic. Pastor Carter, in Barbados 2024, we have a situation now where many persons are concerned about where this nation is going. And connected to that would be where our faith stands. How do you define faith as it relates to Barbados?
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. We established that faith is that firm confidence and belief that believers possess in their spirit. It's a foundation that we need to stand on. And this faith is very important because our country has been built on the faith of our fathers and mothers, men and women who had that firm confidence and belief that there is a God who cares for us, a God who watches over us, a God who loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for us and to bring us back to him. So as a people, we didn't have much materially, but our forefathers would have had a lot of faith in this God that they so much believed in and also taught us. So when we talk about faith, there's still a high level of faith, but as we were going to see, it is spread probably among the older folks or the ones who were taught this faith, or the ones who were sent to Sunday school, the ones who were brought to Sunday school, as opposed to what we have existing now in our society.
Wonderful. I think we've made a good start. Now, Bishop Burke, Pastor Carter would have touched on something very fundamental, where we came from, the background to this nation, and we often use the expression a nation built under God or built with the foundation, the principles, and the morals of God. Where would you say that we stand today, 2024, as relates to faith in Barbados, faith in God?
Well, good morning to the listeners. Good morning to you gentlemen. One of the things that I would say, and I know that we've come a long way, we were a society built obviously on faith. Even within our national anthem, we say the Lord has been the people's guide for the past 300 years. Even within the chorus, it says strict guardians of our faith. And we are compelled by those words to understand that Barbados, when we grew up, was a Christian nation.
Yes.
We were very much a Christian nation. As we have become a lot more plural, and I guess as we start to open up our borders, there are several other faiths, several other belief systems that have come in. We have a case where, interestingly, the more belief systems come in, the less people are believing.
Yes.
And we have several persons who've never been exposed to faith. So there's those significant belief systems that exist in our society. But we are recognizing today, and I speak without knowledge of the actual statistics, but we are recognizing today that there are several persons who have absolutely no relationship with God or any other higher being, or have absolutely no relationship with church. There are several persons who are unchurched. And it is a generation, really and truly, for some reason, that got cut off from the experiences that we had, which would have been getting out to church on Sunday morning, sometimes even more than that Sunday morning, twice Sunday evening, twice, doing some midweek, sometimes had a Monday session that the young boys and men had to be at. So we had a situation where our faith was really and truly who we were. But today, I think in the 21st century, 2024 to be specific, we struggle with a conviction amongst our people as general.
And I want to touch on what the pertinent points were in what you just shared. A conviction, lacking that conviction. And there's an interesting statement you use, Bishop. The more religions or the more belief systems we have being exposed to, the less we seem to have faith. Reverend Carter, I don't know if you are going to be able to deal with this. And this is one of City Wicket. What can we expect to see happen in this country as this situation continues? Right now, we have a situation where persons are lamenting the fact our young people seem to be going astray. The government is struggling to basically find ways to get our people motivated to contribute they would have before. Where do you see this country going with this situation that the bishop has just mentioned?
As you said, it is a difficult question. Reality of it is that all faith give reason to purpose. Give us meaning of life. We lived out our faith. So if that is not being as evident as before and is not passed on as it was before, we're going to have some serious times ahead. Because all faith taught us to live right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that, we're going to live wrong. All faith taught us to be kind to each other. It taught us to tell the truth.
Yes.
To be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
To honor parents. Even more importantly, it taught us to pray. So when we find ourselves moving away from this and we have a society now where there is less respect, less tolerance, less kindness,
mm-hmm.
less honor, and less prayer, we're going to find ourselves in serious, serious trouble.
Whoa.
So we are in a crisis when you think about it, because if our leadership is not where it should be and not giving the guidance necessary to put us back on that track where we have faith like we had before, we're going to be in trouble.
Mm. Now, you're adding fuel to the flame that was started, Reverend Carl. I don't know if you're aware of it. You mentioned leadership and you mentioned what the responsibility of leadership would be. I would want the bishop to touch on that if possible. There's often the expression, and we hear it a lot, that we're lacking leaders. In a country where we appear to be progressing materially, we have Barbadians now that boast of their own homes, their own motor vehicles, etc. And we are speaking about a faith in God. A faith in God. How can the leadership, and I don't know if, Bishop, you want to touch on the leadership as relates to the political leadership, if you want to deal with it from the church leadership aspect, but how can leadership spur on this country?
Again, Ryan, we are in the oxymoron of our times, which is the more we seem to have, the less we do.
Mm.
And I think that we have gone after a whole lot of those things. As the scripture reminds us, Jesus says, so what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world? So he gets every single.
Yes, yes.
But he's still a loser. He's a loser on the end of what matters most, his soul.
Mm-hmm.
So he gains the whole world. Materially, he has everything that he would ever want. He has the picket fence, the gate. He has the upstairs, downstairs. He has every single thing. He has the pets included. But yet, he's still empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is one of the reasons why I am not challenged. I'm not fazed when it comes to our faith, because our faith will remain relevant because it's still the answer for the world today.
Yes.
And what will happen is that in the midst of it all, you will see that people, like when Jesus looked down on Israel and he said that they were like sheep without a shepherd.
Mm.
They were doing all the things in commerce. Mm. He was looking down at a commercial city at that time.
Yes.
Doing all the commerce and everything. But yet he could see people who were empty, who were blinded and confused. In Matthew chapter 10, he said to them, I want you to go to the lost sheep of Israel first. And the translation says the confused and miserable persons, those persons who are operating, they act like if everything is all right, but they're totally lost. So it therefore means that the church cannot waver in her stance when it comes to our faith.
Amen.
Our leaders must therefore continue to present the faith as it is. We still preach Jesus and him crucified. We still preach the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We continue in the faith. We don't relent. We don't try to get sociological or psychological or anything to kind of pander to people.
Mm-hmm.
We continue in the word of God because it is what kept us and it can keep them. And
yes.
It is what delivered us and it can deliver them. But I also want to say that it is always interesting to see you go in the Mideast or whatever and you call those nations by their dominant faith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whatever that dominant faith is, you call them by their dominant faith.
Mm.
But again, we pander and we get afraid to say that Barbados is a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In fact, even some of our leaders have come out recently and said, no, we're not a Christian nation. We embrace all. But I would want to believe that we go right back to that national anthem, that God has been our guide.
Mm-hmm.
He has been our guide, and we cannot pander. We must, as a people, continue to recognize, as Reverend Carter said, the significance of our faith in stabilizing our society, in keeping our society moving, the equilibrium of society. It has been so significant that we have been known over the years as one of the most beautiful places to be, the gem of the Caribbean.
Yes, yes.
But take note, from the time we removed the faith, even out of schools and teaching the religious education and those kind of things, from the time we made all those things optional, look at what is happening.
Whoa. Reverend Carter, we are almost halfway through our program. And what has been highlighted here, to my mind at least, has been the fact that Barbados has changed. The Barbados that many of us would have known when we were children is no longer the Barbados we have today. The bishop would have touched on a very interesting point, the fact that there are nations that align themselves with a certain belief system. And I would let you, if you can, could you define for us where do you think Barbados aligns itself right now? Do we still align ourselves in a generation past to a nation built upon the foundations that God has established in his word? Are we still there?
I do believe that we are still there somewhat. The fact that we're having this program, the fact that we have churches doing a lot of evangelism and doing a lot of going outside the community and trying our best to get people not into the church, but into the kingdom.
Yes.
And I think the whole idea is that we are now looking at kingdom more than ever before.
Mm.
Despite the fact that we don't have the amount of faith in the homes that we used to have, our perceptive of salvation have somewhat been enlightened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're not looking to get people saved now. We're looking at people to get in the kingdom.
Yes.
So we are refocusing. It brings in a position where we now have to seek God even more and further and get more revelation as we go forward. But there is a remedy too. The word of God gives us a remedy in that I said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when you get to a situation like this, where you are in need, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So we don't want to bury our heads in the ground and say that we have not sinned and we have not contributed somewhat to the situation that we're in, because we have. In reality, many of us that were brought up and were led into this faith, some of those persons did not teach their ones, we leave them.
It was so not passing on.
We did not pass it on because we said we had it rough and we're not going to allow our children or grandchildren to have it like that. We're going to allow them freedom. But freedom comes with a price. And the church is responsible, as we said in our national anthem. He has been our guide. And we want him to continue to be our guide. And the church have to take a stand. And if it means for us to get back there, we have, in terms of leadership, to humble ourselves.
Yes.
You know, people always say, well, repent, and just repent. The instruction is to humble yourself first and recognize that we cannot do it on our own. We need God to do it. So when we get to the stage where we humble ourselves, we recognize that we are insufficient. We're incapable of doing this thing. So we need God's help. And then we think about repentance then. But we must recognize that we are not where we ought to be. And we need his help. So I believe that the church is well positioned to do that. And we just need to follow the word. Stick to the word of God. This is what we came on. And it benefited us significantly in the past. And it will benefit us in the future as we go forward, if we live by the word.
And it's interesting that even as we are speaking here on this program, the showers of blessing are falling from heaven. And the listeners who can hear us can hear those showers in the background. Almost a confirmation from God that that humbleness and that repentance has to take place. Bishop Burke, do you think that we are ready to put ourselves in that position? We know that there is a move afoot by many of our leaders. And I'm speaking now not only about our political leadership, even among our church leaders. Whereas there's this sense of empowerment. We have the expression of the apostles, and one even hears the expression of the super apostles. And we have these persons that seem to almost want to put themselves on the same level of God. Do you think that we are ready to humble ourselves? As the good Reverend would have said just now.
That has always been, and no matter where man has existed, he's always had challenges with pride. He's always had challenges with pride. And pride is, if we look at those three things that we are reminded in scripture that could cause us stumbling, it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yes.
And pride is right in there because it has always been one of our issues. But what I think is critical for us to be able to acknowledge in this season is not about us.
Yes.
And I don't want us to get the belief either that it's going to be about everybody either. God has a remnant. God has a remnant, and his remnant he's going to use to effect. Remember, God does not need the majority, the higher number, to be the majority.
Okay.
So he doesn't need the masses to be majority. That's not God. God can use a few to be able to make the impact. And God is the one who controls the times. So I believe that we are going to get to that place, and we're already seeing it starting, where people are desperate enough for answers that they become desperate enough for God. And we are going to get to that humbling place. I see right now, even in some of our local assemblies, our churches, etc., people making utterances, saying certain things, doing certain things, but yet they are brought to their knees. Now, because Nebuchadnezzar thought he was a boss until he met the real boss, and he was brought to his knees. So when people stand in front of God and try to wampuset themselves and try to usurp his authority, etc., they get to that place. It is a very uncomfortable place, but they get to that place. But one thing that I would say to you, Ryan, and I am totally convinced of this, that no matter what happens in this period that we're in, the purposes of God shall stand.
Amen.
And God is raising up an army in this season, this generation of young men and women, some people that we might even have disqualified, who will take this nation and the world by storm.
Yes.
Through the gospel. So our faith, I heard what Reverend Carter said, and I'm reminded what was said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So we see where the issue is. The issue is that for some reason, our faith was not sticky enough for the generation that existed. If our faith was sticky enough, we would have a similar situation where Timothy was a product of faith. And if you ever read the background of Lois, Lois had a what we would call a Gentile husband. Timothy's father was a Gentile. You understand? But her faith was strong enough to be able to pass on to her son, who became one of the most effective pastors in his generation. And I want to still believe no matter what.
Amen. 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 That is wonderful. And I believe it ties in beautifully as we conclude or we come towards the end of our program on where we need to go moving forward. Now, let's be real. There may be many persons who are listening to this program this morning and they're struggling in faith. And as you would have mentioned Timothy and his relations, there are many mothers who may have children, grandchildren perhaps, fathers as well. And they may say to us, may say to their church leaders, but you can't make the young people do what they don't want to. And they may say as well, I want she to come to church, I want this, but sometimes this girl is so bad. And we have these struggles happening every day. Sometimes you have mothers that are not living with fathers. Sometimes you have grandmothers that would love for their grandchildren to be part of the body, but the parents are a roadblock. What do we say to these individuals? Reverend Carter, what do we say to them?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is not just to say, but to live. Be an example. Paul admonished Timothy to be an example, right? To be an example not only in what you say, but what you do. And that has a lot to do with it, you know. When people see the life that you live and see the outcome, it makes a change in them.
Okay.
Right? The Bible tells faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It tells us that it's impossible to please God if you don't have faith.
Amen.
So we must live out our faith in such a manner that our children are those persons that we want to impart, see God's faith in us and be able to at least trust and hold on something.
Yes.
Prayer changes things, yes, but faith must be abounding for that to happen. It said by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. They believed, they listened to the word that came to the man of God, and they obeyed. And as a result of that, great works were done. So we must learn to trust in God, not just follow our hearts and say it, but live it so that we be an example and that the faith that we talk about is exemplified in our lives and things that we do, that the children can be impacted upon. I mean, I remember the child when I heard my mom pray for my brother and I. I mean, prayed like nothing, day and night. And that impacted me. I don't ever think that children are here, parents pray. They do. And it impacts them. So continue to pray for them and let them hear you praying, because it makes a difference in their life. When things get hard, they remember the prayers that you offer. All lives were built on faith, but on prayer as well. Our four parents believed in a God that hears and answers prayer.
Okay. Amen. 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 I will give over to the bishop now as we come to our closing remarks. And Bishop Burke, what the good reverend would have said is something that I found that many parents do not do in these times. We do not pray for our children. We don't pray for our children. We want someone else to do it for us. So what I would want you to do, Bishop, as a further encouragement, you mentioned the remnant, and that's a very serious situation because it speaks about the fact that there are many individuals who may believe that they're in that remnant when we may not be. We may be the ones from the outside looking on. So, Bishop, to the believer, to the Christian today in Barbados, who might be blindsided, because we know that there's nothing wrong in itself with wanting to be successful in one's career or professional area. But to the Christian today, who might be blindsided by things that are around us, things that are around them, but yet we're still struggling in our faith. We're struggling because we have not put God where he should be in our lives. What would you say to that individual this morning?
I would want to first and foremost remind us that we are in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in an extremely critical period where God is going to do several things to ensure that his kingdom expands and that it grows.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also several who will be lost.
Mm.
And like the Apostle Paul, I don't want to be one of those castaways. I don't want to be one of those persons who haven't done all that I've done for the Lord, service and preaching and everything. Then I find myself there. I would want to encourage those persons to, as the time draws closer, look up, because our redemption draws nigh.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep our eyes focused. We have to be focused in this season. Many things could distract you. Many things could capture your attention. Many things could cause you to doubt and to wonder. But as believers, this is time for us to look up, to keep our eyes on the yes. Lord. And I don't want to just look up, but I want my faith to be sticky enough, like Lois and Eunice did. I want my faith to be sticky enough
mm-hmm.
that my children also could be able to hold on to that faith mm-hmm. and be able to say, yeah, I'm not just going to be holding on to daddy's coattail as a minister, but I'm holding on to what daddy believed in because I believe it and I saw it every single day in our home and it works.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. And we're concluding this morning, Family Faith Freedom Barbados. And as we conclude, we want to make a prayer for those persons who have been hearing these programs. We would have begun with the family aspect, recognizing the broken nature many of our families in Barbados have today. We would have continued with the fact that in Barbados, there are a lot of legislations that are being proposed. There are a lot of moves afoot that, if left unchecked, deteriorate that foundation that we have built upon God. And we also recognize the freedom that we have in Christ is being threatened. So we want to make a prayer this morning. And Reverend Carter, if you wouldn't mind, a short prayer for the individuals who are listening this morning who may have been blessed by these programs, that something that would have been said would have encouraged them, as has encouraged us, to push forward in faith. You may begin when you're ready, Reverend Card.
Father God in heaven, we thank you once again for this wonderful opportunity given that we can proclaim the gospel and the kingdom of God. We bring before you those who are listening, who are between two minds. We, in our national anthem, we said the Lord has been the people guide for past 300 years, and we want him always to be by our side. So Father, I pray, mighty God, that those who are listening, who are doubting, we recognize that we have come this far by faith, leaning on the everlasting love, the arms of the Lord, and we will continue to go. So I want them to have faith in the fact that you are still alive and what this life, this hope, and the same God that have brought you through this far can take you even further. So just have faith and reach out and trust him at his word. Get into his word and read his word and believe what he says. He says he will come again and he will come for those who are ready. And you, like the five wise virgins, will seek to be ready when he comes and not waiting. So I pray that God would really touch your heart and really come to you and fulfill all the desires of your heart by giving you a place where you need to be so that he can speak to your heart at all times. These mercies we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Again, this has been Because He Lives program, brought to you with the kind comments of Frederick Morton Spears, in collaboration with the organization Family Faith Freedom Barbados. A blessed morning to all.
Because He Lives. Because